Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Of app. Toucher, Rich, Wallach, and you.
Dan, go ahead.
What could possibly go wrong?
Fred, you are infuriating.
It's Toucher and Rich.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I got you stuck off the realness. We be the infamous, you heard of us. Official Queensbridge murderers. The mob comes equipped for warfare. Beware of my crime family who got enough shots to share for all those who want to profile and pose. Rock you in your face, stab your brain with your nose bone.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Burt Breer is the senior NFL reporter and lead content strategist for MMQB, and he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Burt.
Love it. You guys got some Mobb Deep playing.
Queensbridge, baby.
Absolutely.
It's all about Queensbridge. You got Nas coming out of there. Oh, don't worry about it. Very nice area, I've heard, Queensbridge. All right, so I'm reading MMQB, and the idea that you – how long does it take you to write one of those?
For the most part, I spend 4 days. You know, I mean, like I there's a lot of reporting that goes into it, obviously. So much so the writing can be a little sloppy because I'm kind of throwing it together at the end. But yeah, I mean, it takes a fair amount of time. Like I'll take a couple days of reporting usually, and then Saturday and Sunday I'll put everything together.
All right. So there were rumors from a couple people that Cam Newton would come to the Patriots, but you have an interesting take on it, and it seems to be pretty realistic, is that Cam Newton's too good to go to some of these teams.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting because I think certain teams look at the starting quarterback and the backup quarterback positions as almost separate job descriptions, and that obviously you want to be as good as you can be with your starter. And then the backup, you know, some teams want that guy to be, a competition for the starter. And other teams will look at it and say, I want that guy to be a resource to the starter. I want that guy to be sort of the person who's going to support the starter. And so, I think that's sort of the difference from, one team to the next. And you look at the three teams out there that, I think make the most sense for Cam. All three of those teams have, guys who weren't first round picks, but are young. Are 23 years old, and Drew Locke in Denver, Gardner Minshew in Jacksonville, and Jared Stidham in New England. And, I think in all three of those cases, you could say Cam Newton could come in and win the job. But is that really what you're looking to accomplish? And it's kind of interesting when you look at it that way.
Okay, so there is a story that came out yesterday that sounds ridiculous, but, I mean, it was reported by fairly reputable people, and I want to know what you've heard. Is it true that the Browns, back in 2018, offered their number one pick for Russell Wilson? And that was the Baker Mayfield year, correct? Like, that was the...
Right.
Okay. Is there any truth to that? It seems absurd, but what have you heard?
When Russell Wilson's been in these contract negotiations in the past, Rich, that's sort of quietly come up before. Like, would they move Russell Wilson? And it came up, I think his first extension was done in 15. And then his last extension was done, I believe it was last offseason, right? 2019.
Yeah.
And so because these things have been difficult with Russell in the past, and because he's asked for, what's basically been a baseball contract both times, and he's wound up backing off of that. But because it's gone down that road before, that has been out there. That's gotten around. Like, would the Seahawks move on from him? Do they think that do they want to regain the advantage they had those years when they had Russell Wilson on a rookie contract? And so, I haven't heard personally that there was any sort of significant trade talk between Cleveland and Seattle. That said, if they wanted to do that to send a message to Russell Wilson's people, it wouldn't totally shock me. And I think the other thing that you have to remember, the Cleveland front office and the Seattle front office had very, very close ties. John Schneider, the GM in Seattle, had worked with John Dorsey, Elliott Wolf, and Alonzo Highsmith, the three top guys in Cleveland for Green Bay, in Green Bay for over a decade. And so there are a lot of things that sort of line up there where, you know, it does make some sense that maybe it was at least discussed because Seattle was in the middle of a difficult contract negotiation with Russell Wilson.
That is called dodging a bullet. Like, you,
they've seen what Baker Mayfield. They could have had him. All the intangibles. They could have had the attitude. They could have had it all. All those intangibles.
You guys are so out on Baker Mayfield. The guy's 24 years old. You guys are so I'm not out on Baker Mayfield yet.
I want him to be good because
I want him to piss off Fred. Like, I want the NFL to have a villain.
You need a villain.
Everything that they drafted him for above the other quarterbacks, except for Rosen, was his intangibles, in quotations.
Yeah.
Zoe, will you shut the door, please? And so everything that they drafted him for were these dumb intangibles, like grabbing his nuts in front of the Baylor bench. Ooh, you can't like him. He put the flag in the Ohio State. You can't like Baker Mayfield. Please,
I sort of like the way he carried himself, to be honest with you. Like look, it went the other way.
Draft him, not enough to draft him.
And look, like there were. I'm telling you, like, and I know the comparison was Manziel, right? Like, and it had been Manziel and everything else. The difference was that, you know, everyone in Oklahoma's program vouched for the kid 100%. And so, you know, you have this kid who won at a very high level, went to the playoffs every year, that he was a starting quarterback, won the Heisman, and was as accurate a passer as we've seen come out in the last decade, right? And then, you know, you had the intangible things, and you weren't drafting him just on that, but you had the intangible things. But the difference between him and some of the other guys that carried themselves that way is, like, when teams went in there and they talked to the Oklahoma coaches and the Oklahoma players, everyone loved him. And so that's why I'm not out on him yet. Like, I just think he's 2 years into the league. Stardom came very, very fast for him. You know, maybe he didn't handle some things the right way. I just think if you put him in the right environment, and now he's actually got two competent tackles in front of him, I think a chance to play in a system that's really going to fit him, and what Kevin Stefanski's going to do there is the Shanahan system. Now I think we'll get to see what he really is. I'm not sure that we really got that chance the last 2 years.
Well, in fairness, Oklahoma's really struggled since he's been gone. So,
That's the other thing. No. Fred, that's a totally fair point because the last two guys you plugged in there both made it to New York for the Heisman, and one of them won it too, right? So, I mean, you know, that's a fair point to bring up because, I mean, like, looks like Lincoln Riley can do that with a lot of different types of quarterbacks.
Okay, so there, once again, I don't know like what the statute of limitations on investigations of players are, but yesterday James Harrison, and we all know the hit that he put on Muhammad Massaquoi. I mean, it was brutal. Apparently, he said that Mike Tomlin, when that was done, handed him an envelope full of cash after it was over with. Is that something that the league is going to – are they going to investigate Mike Tomlin? I know it happened years ago, but, I mean, that was a fairly famous dirty hit. And to have Mike Tomlin paying somebody, is that something that somebody is going to take a look at?
And I think that, Rich, this is like sort of the corner that the league painted itself in when it came down on Peyton and came down on Greg Williams and came down on Jonathan Vilma and all the Saints guys in 2012, right? Because, you know, I think if you really wanted to dig into it, okay, and, I mean, if we don't have blinders on here, like how many different teams do you think were doing stuff like that?
And also, Bert, I can bring up the
point.
I mean,
Harrison hates
the Steelers. Harrison hates the Steelers. So that's what I would say. why should you trust this guy when he's publicly come out of our franchise so many times?
Right, and what I'm saying though, Fred, is like the league sort of painted itself in a corner, and part of the reason why was because the concussion litigation was going on then, you know, and so anything that they found that painted the game as any sort of like just painted the game in this sort of violent way, they had to come down on. And so, you know, they found the Saints and they made an example of the Saints and said, you can't do this anymore. You know, but when you come down on somebody like that, there's obviously going to be past cases and these stories are eventually going to be told. And because, you know, now we're 8-9 years out from all that stuff having happened, a lot of the guys who maybe were involved in those sorts of things 10 or 20 years ago were out of the league. And they can just tell these stories now if they want to, you know. And so I think that's a big part of it, is that this stuff was probably, you know, more widespread. I mean, I know it was more widespread than most people believed. And it certainly wasn't just the Saints doing it. And so when you came down on the Saints, you set this precedent. And now does that mean every time that you hear another story like this, if the coach or the general manager or whoever it is still in the league, you have to come down on those people? And that's a question that they're going to have to reckon with.
All right, Bert. I'm sorry.
Let's take a break, and we'll be back with more of Bert Breer from MMQB.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
More of Toucher and Rich.
Tough is never what you think it is.
On Boston's home for sports.
Some people just love to speak in emoji there, Fred.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ooh, it's a remix. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We're on with Bert Breer from MMQB and the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Rich, you were about to ask a question. Rich is not there.
Uh-oh.
Right. We lost Rich?
Yeah, it's all right. All right. First of all, I want to ask you this, is because you were plugged into college football. The SEC is playing, correct? There's no way they don't. I mean, the decision right now is if they come back on the 1st or the 14th, right?
Well, you know, the actually one scenario I've heard in college football, and I know having talked to some coaches in the Big Ten, that this is something that's at least kind of like one of the working plans, is that they would eliminate the non-conference schedule and start October 1st. And it's actually interesting. The reason why is because to start on time, you probably need to start fall camp when they normally start fall camp, which is August 1st, right? Well, if you're one of these schools that isn't letting students back on campus until, say, August 25th, how are you going to do that? Like, how are you going to justify that if you're a university president? And so the thought is that if they maybe back that up and they say, okay, we'll let the football team start when everybody comes back to campus, then you have to push back the start of the season. And so you know, in that scenario, you'd probably go back to October 1st. And here's what's kind of cool about that plan, is that one of the issues with it is, and you guys know how that works with the mid-majors, right? Like, you know, your Kent States or your, you know, South Alabama, whoever they are, will come in and they'll play and get paid out, right? Like, so it'd be, right, you know, you could pay $1 million to come in and get their asses kicked, right? So, like, part of the problem is all of that money is lost now for the mid-majors. Well, part of the way that they, I guess, would make up for it is they would expand the playoffs. And so they would go to maybe an 18 playoff, give the mid-majors one of the automatic bid.
Perfect.
And that would make up a lot of the money. And that would also give them a chance to do a dry run at an 18 playoff and see how it works.
That's a fallout of this. Take that 100 times out of 100.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's a pretty good idea, right? So then you'd have basically the conference schedule. And so the five major conferences would crown champions. You'd have the five conference champions going into the playoff. You'd have the highest-ranked mid-major from the other five conferences getting automatic bids. So that's six. And then you have two at-large teams in.
Oh, this is great. I love this idea. This should have happened 10 years ago.
I just thought it was funny. The SEC is like, well, we can either bring them in on June 1st or like June 14th. But there was no other option. They're like, we're just bringing the guys in. So I thought that was funny.
I enjoyed how Texas A&M announced that they were going to like be back for fall semester, like students, right? And then like 36 hours later, they announced football season was on.
Yeah, I mean, it was ridiculous to think that some of these schools, that like SEC schools and the Texas A&Ms of the world, were not going to play football.
Well, I think originally the thought was, and this was my complete negligence of how the NCAA works, I thought that when the NCAA said we are not going to have student athletics without students on campus, I was mistaken that I thought that they were the ones who governed over all of the schools. No, it's the conferences themselves that do this.
Yes.
And I had no idea about that until we had that writer on. What do you think, that the SEC is not going to have football? Of course they are.
What's fascinating about it too, Rich, is that the NCAA football is the one sport where the NCAA doesn't control the playoffs.
That's crazy.
So the NCAA doesn't make like football is like by far the biggest revenue generating sport of all of them, but the NCAA doesn't make much money off of football because it doesn't control the playoff. And so the conferences are the ones that negotiate the television deals. And then it's like a separate company that controls the playoffs. And so, like, for example, ESPN's making more money off the playoff than the NCAA is.
So do you think then, Bert, that if there are some conferences that decide not to have football, there are others that do, that the NCAA is going to make an exception if, let's say, you're a star player in a conference that isn't going to have football, that you would be allowed to transfer to one of these conferences that is, you know, ultimately possibly making super teams, which would be, I mean, the SEC teams are super teams anyway, but even more so.
Clemson and Alabama, and then it's a conversation from there. But
I'm not an expert on and I know the college game, but I don't cover it like I cover the NFL. But the NFL has very real concerns about the fallout here and how all this is going to work. And you know, I think in the Pac-12, I mean, look, like Cal State just shut down, right? Like for the fall, right? So if Cal State shuts down, doesn't that mean the University of California system is probably going to be close behind and is probably thinking about it? And if they shut down, that means UCLA and Cal Berkeley are out. So that's two of the 12 teams in the Pac-12 that aren't playing in the fall. And so I think there's very real concern that, like, the Pac-12 might not be, operational when we get to the fall. So there are real questions there. And then, you know, the NFL is watching all this really, really closely. And you know, I've been told by a bunch of different teams that it's a priority for them to find a way to sync up their calendar with the college football calendar for a couple. One, it, like a lot of their off-season events, the combine, the draft, are dependent on college football. Number two, they don't want a bunch of players skipping the college season because they say, if the college season would be November to February or whatever it might be, then the hell with it. I'm just going to get myself ready for the combine. So that's an important part of the NFL's, calculus here too, is looking and trying to find a way where they can make sure that their season's synced up with the college season.
Well, there's a real chance that L.A. County might not allow sporting events for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, we've already heard through August, and you've got, that new stadium. I know that they don't practice, neither team practices in L.A. County, but, I mean, where the games would be played, you've got a big problem when it comes to the Rams and the Chargers. What's the contingency plan if teams are not able to play in their city? Like, I've heard Vegas being thrown around for those two teams.
Yeah.
What are you hearing?
Well, number one, it's all three teams in California that are really running into problems now. It's the Niners, too. And I can tell you all three of those teams are already looking at contingency plans to have their training camps out of state. And that's the number one thing. Because if you think about this, right, so training camp starts at the end of July. Do you think California is going to be allowing gatherings large enough to stage a training camp in 8 weeks?
That's a good point. That's
probably.
Good point.
Probably not. I mean, it takes bare bones 150. I mean, we might not be in a position to do that here. Like, the Patriots might have to go somewhere else for training camp, right?
Yeah.
Because if it takes bare bones 150 people, and that's like when you're stripped way down, and it's just the nine players, coaches, scouts, doctors, trainers, cafeteria staff. If you strip it way down, like it's like all the way down, it's probably like somewhere around 150 people that you would need to run it. And I mean, there's going to be a lot of states, I think, when we get to July, that maybe still aren't there allowing gatherings of 150 people. And so there's some of these teams are, and I could tell you in the Northeast and on the West Coast, all three California teams are a part of this, are starting to look around and say, okay, if we have to go out of state, where can we go? So they've been in touch with colleges out of state. They've been talking to, IMG Academy, the Nike campus in Oregon, the Greenbrier in West Virginia. I mean, teams are sort of scrambling right now to come up with contingency plans in case their states won't allow them to stage training camp. And then, of course, 6 weeks after that, they're opening that stadium in L.A., And you're right to think that, Rich, like there's a real possibility that they're either going to be playing in an empty stadium or they're going to have to look at, maybe trying to play games in Vegas or in Arizona or some other, some other venue on the west side of the country.
I could just see like the players, in the Rams. Hey, guys, we're going to Arizona for camp right in the middle of July. Everybody, pack your bags. I'm sure everyone's going to be really jacked for that.
Well, and that, here's the other part of it too, Rich. Like, think about this. Okay, so they're calling around to the, because normally that's what you do, right? Like, a college would probably be the best place to go because a lot of times these places have football facilities. Well, what if, I'll throw the University of Nevada out there. What if the University of Nevada isn't opening its campus up to regular students until the end of August? Are you going to be able to sell the university president on bringing an entire NFL operation there before the students get back? Probably not, right? Yeah. So, like, what do you do? It's just, it's a complicated, complicated thing for a lot of these teams. The teams that are in the states with the stronger restrictions, and look, the Patriots are one of them, have to start looking at the idea of, okay, if we get to July and we can't have camp here, where can we go?
All right. Well, Bert, it is always interesting. It will be interesting to see how these things work out, but when you're talking about Major League Baseball saying they're going to lose $4 billion, and you talk about the SEC being involved in college football, and you think of all this stuff, it makes you truly believe that these sports are going to happen come hell or high water. We appreciate it. You can go to Bert, MMQB. We appreciate the time, as always, on Friday, sir.
All right, thanks,
guys. All right, take it easy. All right, I'm very much looking forward to 8 o'clock because Papa John did which I deliberately did not watch yesterday. Papa John did a guided tour of the Papa Mansion or the pizza joint.
It's the Papa Castle is what he calls it.
Okay, that's even douchier. The Papa Castle. So we'll hear all about that at 8 o'clock. Here are the headlines.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finished Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Who is Milo's favorite player? Free Rollins.
Boston sports fans start their day with Tucker and Rich.
Oh, Fred, much.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
East Point, smoke some dank. Call it all in the hater. Old National got the skanks. Everybody, you know what I'm saying?
Well, it's the M.I. Cricket letter. Ain't no one better. And when I'm on the microphone, you best to wear your sweater, cause I'm cooler than the polar bear's toenails. Oh, hell, there he go again. Talking that shit.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. So the station wanted us to send us a picture of where we're broadcasting from. Doing social distancing. Being, out and about. They wanted to show where we're broadcasting from, and so, of course, I didn't do it until after it was too late. So I put a picture on my Instagram, at Fred Toucher Influencer. Just at Fred Toucher, though. You know, I'm influencing people. And, it's kind of a cool setup. There's I look out at the lake, and I'm at a big desk and all these things. But then people pointed out, and I did not realize, that it looks like my screen has been used for manual sex 1,000 times. My screen is just absolutely disgusting. I don't know what's on it. Because I just wiped it down and, like, it's not getting clean. I don't know what's on it. I don't know what I did to it.
All right, let me look. Let me take a look.
All right.
Yeah, you just go there. At Fred Toucher. You look at that screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
holy
disgusting.
Holy moly, you're not kidding. Okay, I think you're underselling this here, because the way that you can completely tell, what makes it stand out even more so, is that it is directly in front of what I believe is your father's computer monitor.
Yeah, he's got a Dell, baby.
Yeah, but that monitor is spotless.
And my dad is the dirtiest human being on the planet. I mean, he used to walk around with tidy whities with poo stains in them.
Fred, if you would have told me somebody opened up a bag of flour and threw it at your computer screen, I would say that happened. Like, it's covered in, I don't know if it's, it almost looks like it's powder, though, Fred.
Well, this is my computer I do Scarface with. This is where I put the big piles of cocaine in front of.
I mean, that is, boy, that is really something. Is it because that's not a computer where you can touch it and move it? Like, it's not like thumbprints.
No,
right?
It requires no touching. That's just a screen that is. I don't know what I did to it or what the hell's going on with it, but it is not good.
Because that you can't blame the angle, because, as I said, it's right in front of your dad's.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Squeaky clean.
No, you can't blame the angle. Absolutely not. Like, if I was afraid. If you guys are afraid of the coronavirus and I brought that in, I have a feeling that everyone would vacate the premises. And what's funny is, again, I just wiped it down today, this morning, and it did no good. Like, it's still all splotchy and gross.
So you, like, took a wet wipe and tried to wipe it off, and it still looks like that?
I took this, like, Clorox. You know, everyone's got 5 million of these Clorox disinfectant wipes. So I used that, and it's still all effed up. Like, the Clorox disinfectant wipes didn't have the power to kill what was ever on the screen.
That is.
Because I took the picture, and I'm like, all right, here you go, because Jim Louth, who's assistant program director, wanted us to do this, and he made a montage of everyone's, and I go, oh, Jesus, I didn't do it. I feel bad. So I gave one to him, and then I said, oh, I'll put it up because, you know, I didn't do it, and thinking that I didn't think of it. And then when I looked at the comments, like, you know, a couple hours later, I was like, what is everyone talking about? It's so dirty. Why is everyone focused on the computer screen? And I went, oh, dear Lord. they're all making an excellent point. I mean, this is a excellent point here.
It's odd, because if it's not wiping off, then that is like something like an ancient ruin. Like, it's been there for a while. Like, this, that's not fresh if it's not wiping off. Wouldn't you assume that?
Oh, no. It's got something on it. Okay, here's the thing. Something sticky got on there. And now dust is not coming off. Ooh. So that is what it's got to be. Because it's just not dust on a screen. there has to be something that's on the screen that's making dust stick to it. Because it's not like I could take a feather duster and clean it. It is, it's disgusting. It absolutely is disgusting. but I got some funny comments. Must be nice to run to another state because you're depressed. You are really a self-centered pussy. Been listening to you both for over a decade. Not anymore between your running away and Rich being a crybaby baby lib.
Ah. So, all right.
Listen, I'm fine now. But if you didn't have, if you can live your life without at one point free, I came down here for my kids, and also there's literally one coronavirus one reported coronavirus within 15 miles of here. So if I was going to be anywhere safe, this was it. And it's, you know, I might as well be here. And then he goes on to say, then everyone goes, you know, you're an ass. And he goes, you are making it political. I'm not trying to be tough. I'm making a statement. The point is not everyone has a chance to pack up and run. Well, what the hell do you want? So you don't have a chance to do it. I mean, what do you want me to do?
So is he saying if he did, he would?
Yes, obviously.
Exactly.
that's what he's saying there. Yeah. That if I had a chance to do that, I would.
Yeah. If your parents lived on a lake in a place that has no coronavirus, I have a feeling that you would go too. I mean, don't get mad at me because, I mean, I can go to Loudoun, Tennessee and go to some lake. Listen, it's not, what do you think, it's heaven on earth here? I mean, it's much better than where I lived, but I mean, I'm with my parents. My wife has been within eye contact of me every day for 10 weeks, and it's starting to drive us both insane.
She's still watching, real close?
Oh, yeah. And the way the dynamic shifts in the relationship, like, every week, people are not supposed to be together this long. Now, and I'm talking about together without, like, you know, she has a job that's like from 9 to 2. And then, you know, when the kids get out of school, she's with the kids. Because our job requires us not to leave house. Like, obviously we're on from 6 to 10, and then you spend, you know, a good chunk of time looking for things to talk about, even though it's been more difficult than not lately. But you're still around. And you know, I don't go to an office or anything because it's pointless. I mean, the kids would come in every 10 seconds. So you're literally down here where we are, because we have to isolate from my parents for a while, even though that's starting to kind of go away because it just gets impractical. But we're not going anywhere. So, like, we're in eye shot of each other 23 and a half hours a day. And so if you, like, everything you do, things that were acceptable behavior before are now deemed unacceptable. So every little thing has turned into this major, major deal. And I just want space. I just want, so I am coming home before they are coming home. And at one point I thought this is going to be weird because I'm going to be isolated alone. And now I'm like, isolated alone.
This is a point that two people have made, Fred. And I don't know if this is true, but someone said, I'll laugh my ass off if Fred just still has his screen protector on. And people are saying, Fred, do you still have your screen protector
on? I never had this computer in the old studio. I've never had this computer.
I mean, the thing that, you know, sometimes when you get a new computer.
Oh, no.
There's a plastic thing.
No. I don't still have that on. No, okay, this is just pure garbage.
Somebody said, looks like someone's been watching too many reruns of The Golden Girls on that thing.
No, listen, now that there's pornography, I'm way past Blanche. Blanche was a Hail Mary one day. Blanche was like a 3 o'clock Hail Mary when I was in high school. Do you know how old those Golden Girls were when they were on?
They're like, probably how like old? 40.
They were like in their 50s.
Yeah.
Like not far, they were like Wallach's age.
Wait a minute.
What was her husband's name?
Wait a minute.
What was her ex-husband's name?
I just love it that you would know the answer to that. Because I don't know, Golden Girls, I'm not sure.
No clue.
Oh, yeah, it was Stanley.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Stanley. So there you go. But if you have not like at least minorly flipped out at any point during these close to 10 weeks, I don't. Then you know what, man? I want you in my foxhole in a war. Because if you never went, wow, this is weird, and this because this is unprecedented since 1918. God bless you. I mean, you get used to it and it becomes normal. But if you never had a moment, even if you know it was fleeting, where you went, Jesus, this isn't right, then God bless you, because you are a much better man than me. I'm used to it now, so now I'm used to it. And I'm not even looking at the news that much anymore because I can't, because they don't say anything on the news. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't, like, there's no real information. So I'm not even looking at it. So I'm looking at it as I get, you know, I'm here and then I get a few days alone at home. I hope I don't die during that time because I'm so excited to be by myself. I hope I don't overdo it.
Although, you know what is worth watching news-wise today? At 12:30, I guess the president is announcing the flag for the Space Force.
Oh, good.
Well, that's what everyone wants to hear about.
Yeah. Yes. Awesome. Matter of fact, the White House has in the schedule Trump participate in the presentation of the United States Space Force flag at 12:30 p.m., which is, of course, this seems to be the right time to do that, doesn't it?
The only thing I care about in the news is the thing that is making me live in Tennessee and do the show from Tennessee. That's the only thing I care about.
I don't care about any guy who's like, you know, testifying. I just want to know, how will this end and how are you ending it?
Yeah, and what are you doing? What are you doing today? Yes. Or when are you doing something? Yeah, everything else, just go, I don't care. I don't care. All I want, all I want, and it can be just a graph and then three paragraphs, and that's all I need. And then I'm done for the day. Thank you very much for coming. But listen, you get through it, and you get through the crap. But, I flipped out for a couple of weeks. My wife flipped out. I mean, like, it was weird. But now it feels relatively normal as it's going to feel. But, Rich, you're a whiny lib, and I am a pussy that went to Tennessee. Which I would say that by my flying, that makes me the toughest guy in the world. Because even Billy Jaffe was like, how was it flying? And I'm like, oh, baby, you don't want to get up there. No, I'm just kidding. I told him it was fine. All right, we will be back in just a moment. Remember, Papa John's in the Papa Castle. Coming up at 8 o'clock, stuff I'm very much looking forward to hearing.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help.
The Dave McGilvery Finished Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
I'll tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Frank Sinatra. Frankie, my boy, don't know. You have a perfect voice to sing calypso. What did they say? Frankie, my boy, don't know. You have a perfect voice to sing calypso.
Office rocker, he's office rocker. Please, Mr. Officer, I only had some vodka. Little marijuana, just a few biker. And only rumors circle around.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what is going on?
Well, I mean, one thing that we've learned from this quarantine is that, you know, if we know that celebrities are doing okay, then we feel okay. And I think it was Gal Gadot, a.k.a. Wonder Woman, who 2 months ago, oh, boy, that seems like a million, that seems like a million years ago.
Oh, boy, I forgot about that. Ew.
She made the video, you know, the Imagine video that was horribly awkward to watch, but, you know, it had all these different celebrities singing, telling you, listen, it's going to be okay. You know, and,
well,
and
by singing Imagine,
yeah,
which I don't even know how that fits, but anyway, there was people that you respected, like Will Ferrell, and now you're like, oh, I hate you.
Yep.
Like, you're the worst.
Well, Bob Odenkirk, you know, of course, of Better Call Saul, you know, realized that when celebrities get together and they sing songs about how it's all going to be okay, then it's okay. And he got a bunch of different celebrities, such as Bryan Cranston is on there. He got Michael McKean, basically everyone who's on either Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul involved, and Mr. Show. And they made this tribute, something to maybe make you feel warm and fuzzy during these hard times.
How come you're always such a fussy young man?
Don't want no Cap'n Crunch, don't want no Raisin Bran.
Well, you don't know that other kids are starving in Japan, so eat it.
Just eat it.
Don't wanna argue, I don't wanna debate. Don't wanna hear about the kind of foods you hate.
You won't get no dessert till you clean up your plate. So eat it.
I don't care if you're full, just
eat it. Eat it. Get yourself an egg.
And beat it.
Have some more chicken, have some more pie.
Have some more chicken, have some more pie.
Have some more chicken, have some more pie.
So they do the entirety of Weird Al's Eat It. And they're looking so sincere into the camera, much like Gal Gadot and everyone. Like, it's these somber faces. We're going to get through this together. We're going to do this.
Yeah. And she really... And you know what? Gal Gadot was really on point. Now... It's like, yeah, wow. Well, you kind of jumped the gun on that one, Gail.
The best is you go to Bryan Cranston, and Cranston's in full on, like, I'm not cracking a smile. Like, this means the world to me right now. And, like, it looks like Bryan Cranston's about to cry as he's singing, don't want no Captain Crunch, don't want no Raisin Bran. Oh, my God. These guys are the best.
Has Weird Al ever made a funny song? Well, look, you're not allowed in the conversation.
Okay. Listen, when you're 8 years old, yes. Like, you
see,
know,
I never thought those were funny.
Oh, you see, the video for Fat was hysterical when I was a kid. Like, that was, like, crazy. Like, I mean, you know, it was Michael Jackson's Bad video.
Oh, I understand
what
it is.
Fat. You know, he wasn't bad. He was fat. And to that, it was fantastic. No, when you're a kid, of course, that stuff was great.
No, it wasn't. I lost on Jeopardy. That was actually a video.
Yep, they made a video for that. That was a little before my time. I was more on the Even Worse. Like, that was my wheelhouse.
Which is Even Worse? Yeah. I remember my dad got me a vinyl copy of one of Weird Al's albums when I was, like, 16. It's, like, the only gift it's literally the only gift he's ever given me. And it was a Weird Al vinyl record when I was 16. Yeah, and I'm like, you know that this is not for me. I liked Al TV when I was a kid, when he did it on MTV. And I liked when he did the Polka Jam, where he did the medley of all the polka songs.
Living with a Hernia didn't do it for you?
No.
Living with a Hernia.
He made a video for that, too.
Yes, he did. Okay. I feel bad. Yeah.
That's well, he did the Red Hot Chili Peppers Yabba Dabba Doo, y'all, to give it away, and they were like, this isn't funny.
Oh.
And if you can't make the Chili Peppers laugh, I mean, where are you? I guess they got really mad at John Daly, too, because he did that California Forna whatever. Remember the song I played for you guys? It sounds exactly like the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
What are you talking about? What song?
It's it's called California Abracadabra or something like that.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Yeah. So, but it just sounds exactly like him, and I guess they got furious with him that he had made that song. Not a lot of sense of humor, with the old boys from Red Hot Chili Peppers.
The Chili Peppers might be, and listen, I was a massive Chili Peppers fan. I think Mother's Milk is still like one of my favorite albums of that era. Like, I love that album. And I think that Blood Sugar Sex Magik was really good too. But they couldn't have been bigger pricks when I met them. Like, you want to talk about people that you end up and I was really excited. Like, I was super excited to meet them and finally get to interview them. They couldn't have been bigger a-holes, unfortunately. So, I mean, once again.
Well, who's got the most Red Hot Chili Pepper gold records?
Didn't you say they're heroin dealer, right?
Yeah, Anthony Kiedis is heroin dealer.
That's right.
All right.
That is a Neil Hamburger special.
That is a Neil Hamburger joke. And if you want to, you can YouTube Neil Hamburger. He does about 5 minutes of Red Hot Chili Pepper jokes. I'm telling it wrong, but, you know, on the new album, what are the Red Hot Chili Peppers' favorite tracks?
The ones on their arms?
Well, the ones on their arms.
I kind of thought that was the other one. That's right.
All right. I told it wrong, I think. But all right. No commercials here, just the headlines. And then we'll visit Papa Castle, Papa John's beautiful home in Kentucky.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finished Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.